This is the Sex and Censorship Podcast. This is Jerry Barnett. Welcome to the very first Sex and Censorship Podcast. This is the home of free expression. You can find Sex and Censorship at www.sexandcensorship.org, on Twitter as Porn Panic, and on Facebook. I must first give a shout out to Red Roxy Studios, who are graphic designers, web designers and photo retouchers of the highest quality for the adult industry. They're very talented people, and they also made me the theme tune for this podcast, which I love, so thank you very much to them. Please check out their work, which is excellent, and you can find at redroxystudiosxxx.com or just Google Red Roxy Studios. This week's episode is an interview with film director Vanessa Pellegrin, I hope I've pronounced that right, who is making a film called The Trouble with the F-Word, in which she sets out to explore why feminism is becoming increasingly unpopular. First, here's this week's update from the world of sex and censorship. As readers of the Sex and Censorship blog will know, the British government is currently carrying out yet another consultation on, quote, online child safety. The background to this is that Britain's crazy porn regulations are being ignored by everyone in the world, and the government wants to give itself more powers to prevent British consumers from browsing overseas porn sites that don't comply with UK law. Now, you might expect the government to wake up and realise that if no other country in the world has porn laws like ours, then maybe we've overdone it a bit, but of course not. British politicians have instead decided that the rest of the world, including the EU and the United States, is obviously stupid. Britain is like the mad person who thinks that everyone else is crazy. So our government plans to introduce new laws that are aimed at preventing British consumers from accessing overseas porn sites. While they say this is about child protection, in fact the planned new laws will block these offending services for everyone, whether they're 8, 18 or 88. So as always, the child protection excuse is just that, an excuse for censorship. The consultation also ignores the fact that there are millions of adult sites out there. Instead, they say that most users look at the top 100 sites, so if they block those, that will stop most users looking at porn, but that misses the obvious. If they somehow manage to block access to those top 100 sites, people will simply look at other sites instead. Their plans are either completely useless, or they're gearing up for blocking sites on a truly massive scale, and this is the real worry, and the reason I started the Sex and Censorship campaign in the first place. I'll be submitting a response to the inquiry, which you'll be able to find on the blog. Let me point out that I do all of this on a shoestring budget with small donations from supporters. If you support what I do, please go to sexandcensorship.org, join the mailing list and consider making a small donation. Even £10 or £20 would help cover costs. And those donating £50 or more will receive a signed copy of my book Porn Panic, which will be published this summer. You'll be hearing a lot more about Porn Panic soon. The other big news in the past week was that the Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn expressed support for decriminalising prostitution. This is a big deal because, as far as I know, Corbyn is the first ever Labour leader to take this position. Unfortunately for him, there's a big dose of anti-sex work feeling in the Labour Party, and some senior Labour MPs quickly turned on him. Various MPs, including Harriet Harman, Stella Creasy and Caroline Flint, tweeted their opposition to decriminalising sex work in the usual inaccurate and offensive way. Caroline Flint caused a stir by tweeting that, quote, prostitution isn't an industry. When some sex workers tried to respond to her on Twitter, she blocked them. This is typical of the hypocrisy of these people. They claim that sex workers are victims and that they need saving, but when sex workers try to speak up for themselves, they silence them. The simple fact is that most sex workers don't want either themselves or their clients to be criminalised. People primarily go into sex work simply because it's very well paid. Some say they love the work, others say they hate it, but either way, their choices are under attack by good old-fashioned moralists pretending to be feminists who care about sex workers. So on Tuesday, I organised a campaign on Twitter for sex workers to tweet to Caroline Flint and tell her to stop trying to criminalise the way they make a living. Hundreds of people tweeted her, and no doubt Flint's blocking finger was very tired by the end of the day. Whatever you think of his politics, Corbyn deserves a round of applause for taking a brave stance that was bound to upset moralists in the Labour Party. And now to this week's interview. Vanessa Pellegrin is currently running a Kickstarter campaign to fund her film, The Trouble with the F-Word. In the film, she aims to find out why so few people call themselves feminists today and ask whether something has gone wrong with the feminist movement. Her approach is to have two presenters, one of whom defends feminism and one who opposes it. It's an intelligent and interesting approach from an intelligent and interesting person. Unfortunately, this debate is anything but intelligent, and Vanessa has attracted hostility both from feminists and from men's rights activists, each of whom accused Pellegrin of favouring the other side. The interview took place in a public space, so please excuse the background noise.
Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, Jerry. How are you?
Good, thanks. Thank you for meeting me. Pleasure. I wanted to interview you about the film you're making at the moment. It's called The Trouble with the F Word. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that it's turning into quite a controversial project, which is something you didn't expect. I'd also like to point out right at the beginning, you're currently engaged in a fundraiser to finish the project.
Yes.
It's a Kickstarter, mm-hmm. and so people can find by searching for Trouble with the F Word.
Absolutely. Okay. So we have 22 days to complete the film.
That's as of recording, which is 7th of March.
It's the 28th of March.
28th
exactly.
Of March,
28th of March, the campaign finishes.
And I wanted to interview you because I find it's a very interesting project. It's a very misunderstood project, as we'll find out, as I found by talking to you, and I want to talk about that. It would be great to get... It's an intelligent project, which is why, you know, I'd like to help you raise the funds, hopefully.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it, because it's true, since I've started the campaign, it's been more complicated than what I was expecting. But first, I'm going to go back a little bit to explain what is this about.
So,
yeah.
What is it, and how did you?
Yeah. So basically, I was interested to about feminism and especially this third wave because when we were doing research and trying to find our next documentary at the time, we came across polls and we saw that a lot of people didn't claim themselves feminist anymore, and so we were wondering why. And so we tried to explore the issue by getting answers from the feminist, but also from the anti-feminist side. So, but for that, instead of doing it like in a very traditional way, which is, you know, myself going there and trying to do my own journey, to spend my own journey in this in this controversial debate, I took two presenters who are representing both sides of the coin. So Lucy Holmes, who you know her very well because she ran the No More Page Free campaign, and she's a feminist activist, and so therefore, like a lot of people in her, you know, in her case, believe feminism is misunderstood today, and so she wants to prove that it's the case, and she will do everything on that respect. And on the side, there is Nick Lancaster, who is a TV sports journalist, and he considers himself egalitarian. So he can't call himself feminist. He doesn't like the label, and he thinks he's no longer a movement that he promotes, that's promoting gender equality. In fact, as a young white straight man, he feels that he's not privileged, as some feminists claim. Right. So he wants to, on his opposite side, he wants Lucy to basically understand that feminism is not the movement she thinks. And so they're going to set each other challenges in order to change their opinion. And the good thing, a very new thing with this documentary, and it's on the Kickstarter, people are able to back us and to set a challenge to our presenters. So basically, if you're a feminist, you can ask Nick to do something in particular. I don't know, like it can be to explore the equal equal pay issue or the women quota or rape center or anything like that. And from the for Lucy, if the anti-feminist wants to set her a challenge, they can ask her basically to meet a certain anti-feminist personality, or to be challenged by another group of women who don't think like her, and so on. So it gives really quite a lot of freedom, and I think as a director...
As you've explained to me before, I mean, you're genuinely looking for balance here. So, I mean, for example, when I first heard that you had Lucianne Holmes on the picture, on the film, you know, she's not one of my favourite people because I dislike the No More Page 3 campaign.
Yeah.
So I kind of came to the natural assumption that you were making a kind of pro-feminism, you know, a film that was sympathetic to her, but actually that's not the case, is it?
Yes, exactly. And that's the thing. So you actually, it's great that you are interviewing me today. And as you can see, I'm here in front of you and I have no problem to answer all the questions you're asking me. Mm. Because simply, what is interesting within the anti-feminist world is not only the men's right or the men's right advocates or the men in general, because a lot of people think anti-feminist is all about that. But actually, we came across sex workers that are believing feminism is ostracizing them and no help, basically doing more harm to them than rather than good. And that's an interesting, that's the reason why we're exploring that issue too. So people don't acknowledge that. The same way they don't acknowledge that stay-at-home moms feel bashed by feminists too. And these are the people we want to speak to as well, because we believe that wherever it's understood or not, feminism, we need a debate on the subject. And I believe the resistance I'm facing now clearly proves that I'm right to do it.
Yeah. You said, I mean, you've been getting hassle from men's rights activists who think you're doing something too feminist, and then you've been getting hassle from feminists who think you're doing something anti-feminist.
Yes.
To an extent, I mean, to an extent that means you're doing something right.
I think so, but it's true. It's becoming a bit unfair in a way that the thing is, for the last 3 years, we've been denied funding, we've been denied censorship, we've been denied commission because it's too controversial. Whatever we're doing is too controversial, honestly. And so we thought, okay, so with the crowdfunding, we're going to get a lot more support. We're going to reach this audience who is very looking forward to have a debate on the issue and with a very unbiased approach. We do have these people, thankfully, because they backed us and they support us and they send the lovely messages and wherever they're coming from. Because they are from both sides. But at the same time, from both sides, until now, for example, from the feminist side, we don't get access to women press at all. We don't have a voice, so people don't know.
So you've been blocked by female press because...
They're not interested. They said there is no reason why to ask a feminism... Feminism, basically, for them, has no problem.
Right, so you're not allowed to ask the question if there's a problem with feminism.
No, I'm not allowed to approach the question. And from the anti-feminist side, it's very stupid from me to even ask the question because feminism is evil and we should all know about it. But unfortunately, as I said to all the audience who is looking, who will look this documentary, who will watch it, has no idea what feminism is. Mm. And most of them don't even care.
I think it's a shame. To an extent, you can see the debates devolved into this kind of shouting match. So you have feminism...
I mean, I do understand in a way, as I said to them, so I do understand in a way that they're scared to be portrayed as evil again and again, like most of the time happens. I mean, from the feminist side, Julie Biddle is pretty, I'm sure she's pretty fed up to be portrayed as a transphobic, woman, and that feminism is all about transphobia and stuff like that, for example. And from the anti-feminist side, it's true that most of them are depicted as misogynist, chauvinist pigs, and so on. Mm-hmm. And by exploring, by the little we have explored right now, I can tell that it's not true. I mean, it's not so black and white. Things are really different than what people think. But the thing is, like, if we have no access and no platform to speak, or no way to show these evidences, how can we change people's opinion in one way or another?
It's really, to an extent, I guess it's because you've come in at the right time. You know, you've hit the right subject area at the right time because it's controversial. And it's, I mean, I'm a pro-porn advocate. I've been very, very careful not to get branded as anti-feminist or men's rights advocate because there's so much hostility in that. But to an extent, I'll have to admit, I've been afraid to even question whether feminism is an entirely good thing, and that there is a kind of climate of hostility around. You know, as you say, you're not allowed to ask that question.
No, and that's the thing. I think wherever it's some people promoting free speech, we don't see where is the support of free speech at all in that thing. Since I've started my campaign, the one who supported the sisterhood, I haven't seen any solidarity either.
So if you're a woman making a film, that you're considered not part of it?
Well, not really, because very few of them accepted to open me their network. Which I'm very thankful to them because they're happy for a debate, but they know what I'm doing. And it's true that some of them, despite of telling them openly that I'm not doing a feminist or anti-feminist film, and I repeat it, I'm not doing either side. I'm not taking side. I have two presenters on purpose that have strong opinion and they are taking sides already, so I don't need to take a side myself. And despite of that, you can't avoid media to tell you, to tell that, oh, these people are doing a feminist film, or these other people are doing an anti-feminist film. But it's not what I'm making at all. And it's true, when you have some people criticizing and being hostile to that, it's becoming a bit unfair, because so far we haven't got the money even to finish the film. So yeah. How can I be so privileged and be so biased and everything? Because I'm asking...
Yeah, everyone's accusing you. I mean, as I say, I guess the one thing you can be happy of, that you're getting hostility from both ends and not just from one end, you know.
Oh, no, definitely from both.
But there is a gap in the middle. And as you say, you know, it's much harder to have an intelligent, balanced, you know, production, than to create one that's very polemic and very one-sided. What would you say? I mean, how would you personally define feminism? Do you have a personal definition?
Honestly, no. That's the thing. I don't have any definition myself. Like, if I take the definition in the dictionary, is amazing. We're all for equality, gender equality, and it's great. But the thing is, that's the thing. As an individual, I'm asking questions myself, and the whole campaign is making me asking more questions. But before even to take any side myself, or believing or maybe this is not completely true, there is a propaganda in that respect or anything like that, before I can even start to have this constatation, really, or this conclusion, people need to accept that we have the right to explore it, and the right to free speech, And the thing as well, I'm really shocked, is that if people were so strongly believing in their beliefs, why are they so scared to meet people who are disagreeing with them? I mean, it shouldn't be the case, you know?
I think you mentioned to me before you've been called a rape apologist. I've been called a rape apologist.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure I'm not pro-rape. But it's these words that get thrown at people. You have to suspect that these are, you know, these are unintelligent people who throw words like that around. They can't engage with the real debate. They resort to insults instead.
I think at the moment I'm just, you know, facing individual, and you know, just to say it's one side or another, you know, that are giving me a tough time. It's not, you know, it's a very whole. I think we have a trouble with the society even before with feminism, because it's not like one is giving me more tough time than another. They just express it very differently. But the fact is, as soon as we started, you know, even our social media campaign, we were, as I said, called rape apologists by some feminists, because we were retweeting Christina H. Summers, because she's a factual feminist. That's the thing as well I want to develop in this film.
Yeah, Christina Summers is, she's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's the thing.
She's one of
the
few feminists who produces evidence and reasons.
And she's not hated, you know, by the MRM movement. So I don't see. So this kind of feminist seems to be okay. So that's the kind of thing I want to explore too. For example, I remember just by retweeting her about rape campuses and things like that, an idea or a thought she had, or with an article or something, a piece that she has written, we were called straight away rape apologists. And the other way, because we put something about Emma Watson, because we said, is hate for she maybe the solution? We were just asking the question, and we got called, oh, yeah, you mind haters, this and that. I mean, it's been like that constantly. It's really hard, really.
The difficulty of trying to be unbiased, I guess nobody likes you. And you're right. I mean, you said it's a general problem with society. That seems to be the way discourse is going, and everything's polarizing. I see all these idiots on Facebook saying, I block that person because I disagree with them, I block this person because I disagree with them. You've got this kind of people entrenching themselves into camps where they never have to hear anything they disagree with. And that's not healthy, is it? You know, that's not.
It's not. I mean, I don't mind. I don't mind, you know, people disagreeing with me. I don't mind people to tell me that they, you know, they think they're not sure about what I'm doing, stuff. I'm more than happy to explain myself 10 times, you know, if necessary. But blaming me for something I haven't done, that's where it gets really unfair because I'm not, you know, I don't have the budget of the BBC, I don't have the budget of a broadcaster, and you know, and I'm generally communicating every single thing about what I'm doing transparently enough, so no one can have to find that and say, oh, actually, you've been, you know, talking with this publication, you've done this, and then people can put really, you know, blame me to have trying to hide things, you know, from them. I'm not doing so, so. So really what I'm trying to do again is to reach, you know, unbiased debate. And wherever, you know, if, you know, people say, yeah, because you don't know what feminism is, maybe I don't know, but, you know, we are more than happy, them to tell me.
I mean, as you say, well, your crime is to ask questions. And yeah, we're at a point in discourse, and I see this everywhere, where asking questions is considered wrong. There's this rise of anti-intelligence, really, which is very dangerous. And on that basis alone, I'd urge people to support you, help fund your film. I'd love to see the film made.
Thanks.
Yeah, and to, as I say, you know, the more hostility, you know, it arises, the more interest you'll get. But at the moment, you need it funded. So, again, so where can people find you?
We have a Twitter, which is at fwordfilm. Everything is there. Obviously, they can find the trouble with the F word on Facebook too. We have links that goes directly to the Kickstarter campaign from there. So, and if they go to Kickstarter and they, you know, type the trouble with the F word, they will be able to find us too.
Yeah.
So if they're really keen for a debate and give me a bit of credit, that would be, you know, I'm more than happy to you know, to tell them to watch the video, to ask me any question they want. And even to do a hangout with them or Skype or anything, that's absolutely fine. As I said, you know, I don't mind, you know, disagreeing, and I will keep repeating the same thing again and again, even if people find probably my side weak, you know, my approach weak, but I don't think it's weak. I don't feel, you know, like trembling on my base because people are being hostile.
No,
I'm sure about what I'm doing.
It's a question that needs to be asked. I've been around feminists for 40 odd years. My mum was a feminist and so on. And I asked my feminist friends today, at least the ones who don't mind being asked, what, how do you define feminism? And I've never had a straight answer from anyone, at least not in recent years. And it's weird, you know, why are people defining themselves with labels that they can't actually define, you know? So it's an important question to ask. I think maybe the hostility it's arousing is because people know they're on weak ground and they can't defend their own ideas. And so I wish you best of luck with the project.
Thank you.
Putting the link up on our blog for people to support you.
Thank you.
You've made almost $3,000 already,
mm-hmm.
which is a pretty good start. Excuse me.
No worries.
£3,000 is a pretty good start, but you have to raise, is it 25,000 in total?
70,000 in 22 days.
70,000.
Yes. So okay. It's a very, very challenging question. And again, that's what I'm saying. So we get all or nothing. So, or either this film can be done,
yeah.
Or sadly, it won't be done. And I think it would be not only sad for us, because as I said, I'm a filmmaker. I can always go for the next project.
Mm.
That's fine. But I think that would be a terrible thing for people who could get a voice. And
yeah,
and
I,
it's really up to them. And I hope they will take this chance.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you, Jerry.